This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, August 15th. Brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. It's rally month and ag wasn't invited. Turler bills detail food and ag spending advance. Fire ag secretary. Rallies for heat protection, housing, air, and a CAFO ban. As the session hits the last lap and elections draw near, labor and animal rights advocates are hitting the streets of Sacramento and Sonoma County. United Farm Workers kicked off the week with a rally at the Capitol in partnership with Senator Dave Cortez. The Silicon Valley lawmaker charged that farmers are giving more attention to water for their crops than water, quote, for the human beings picking those crops. UFW is sponsoring his bill to make it easier for farm workers to claim workers' comp for heat-related injuries. UFW President Teresa Romero described the measure as a chance to save lives. SB 1299 is up for a key vote today in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. Cortez acknowledged Governor Gavin Newsom has not been a fan of changing the workers' comp system. Housing. More than a dozen farm worker advocates lined up in support of a measure to open farm worker centers year-round. Their testimony won praise from Senator Anna Caballero of Merced, who chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee, where AB 2240 awaits a vote today as well. Agencies estimate the bill would cost the state tens of millions of dollars to implement. Several farm worker groups, however, remain opposed over concerns the measure would take valuable resources away from other farm worker programs. Air quality? Well, the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition hosted Clean Air Action Day yesterday at the Capitol. The advocacy group has pressed lawmakers and the Air Resources Board to force the San Joaquin Valley Air District to enact stricter emission rules for local farms. CAFO ban? Well, next week at a Berkeley-based animal rights group marching through downtown Petaluma and to encourage Sonoma County residents to vote for a ban on confined animal feeding operations. New trailer bills with food and ag spending. The legislature posted several new trailer bills yesterday, fleshing out language for lawmakers to soon vote on. School meals. Among the noteworthy additions, UC Agriculture and Natural Resources would receive nearly $4 million to study the state's free school meals program. The money survived deficit-induced budget cutbacks, likely because the program has had strong champions in the first partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom and billionaire campaign donor Kat Taylor. Yet speculation has circulated over how much of the food is eaten and how much ends up in the trash. Ag plug-ins? Well, another budget, Bill Jr., one of several with that moniker, would allocate $205 million for charging and hydrogen refueling infrastructure for clean trucks, buses, and off-road equipment. It specifically calls out agriculture vehicles and equipment. Small farms? Well, the bill would also deliver $2 million in emergency funding to the Community Alliance with Family Farmers. The Progressive Advocacy Group runs an aid program for small farmers. The Assembly Budget Committee will host an informational hearing on the bills this morning. Republican attorneys general urge Supreme Court to reverse EPA waiver decision. 8 Republican state attorneys general are urging the Supreme Court to reverse the D.C. Circuit Court's decision to uphold EPA's issuance of a Clean Air Act waiver that would allow California to enact a ban on new gas-powered cars by 2035. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd, in a amicus brief asking the Supreme Court to reverse the decision, argued EPA's allowance of a waiver, quote, frustrates core federalism tenets by granting California a monopoly on regulatory innovation, adding that offering only California the opportunity to set environmental standards, quote, effectively prohibits each of the other states from innovating. Byrd was joined in the brief by attorneys general in Idaho, New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wyoming. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Vance, fire the agriculture secretary. While campaigning in Michigan yesterday, GOP vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance talked up a couple of ways to lower food prices, firing the agriculture secretary and increasing oil and natural gas production. The topic came up when a reporter asked the Ohio senator what should be done about energy costs to help lower the price of groceries. Well, a member of the crowd then shouted, quote, fire Granholm, a reference to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, a former governor of Michigan. Vance, possibly mixing up Granholm with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, said, quote, the first is we're going to fire the agriculture secretary. Vance then went on to argue that lowering oil and natural gas prices could reduce fuel and fertilizer costs for farmers. Savings, he said, would be passed on to supermarket shoppers. You could read the full report at agripulse.com. FDA names second cucumber grower in salmonella outbreak. FDA has linked a second Florida cucumber grower to an ongoing salmonella outbreak. It's impacted 449 people since June. Traceback data found that cucumbers supplied by Thomas Produce Company of Boca Raton, Florida, are another likely source of illness in an ongoing salmonella outbreak. In July, the agency tied Bednar Growers, Inc., another Florida-based company, to the illnesses after strains of salmonella found infecting people were detected in water sources used by Bednar Growers, Inc. Similarly, FDA announced yesterday that samples of water used by Thomas Produce Company matched a salmonella strain associated with some of the illnesses. The growing and harvesting season for both growers is over, and no product from these farms are on the market, meaning there is likely no active risk to the public. In total, 449 illnesses were reported in 31 states and the District of Columbia since June 4th, and 125 hospitalizations. Dairy tops Colombian trade mission concerns. A Colombian trade investigation into U.S. exports of powdered milk products is one topic of discussion on an Agriculture Department trade mission this week, Undersecretary Alexis Taylor said on a press call yesterday. Dairy farmer groups and lawmakers sent letters to U.S. trade officials earlier this month decrying the prospect of Colombia imposing countervailing duties on U.S. powdered milk products, which will depend on the outcome of the investigation. According to one of the letters, the Colombian government is alleging that U.S. imports of the product have injured Colombian dairy farmers. I think on the case of milk powder, it's really unfortunate that the government of Colombia has taken this step, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs Alexis Taylor said on a press call. We believe and anticipate that the data will show this case is without merit. Well, here's today's final word. We banned those damn captive audience meetings for good in Minnesota. That Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, in a campaign speech for the Harris-Walz presidential ticket at the annual convention for American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in Los Angeles. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, August 15th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.